Unfortunately, I also have a in my femur.
What?
So, that's not ideal.
In the absence of Jakob Ingebrigtsen, the 1,500-meter cavalry has reached new and unprecedented heights.
Everybody's been getting used to time trial racing. Everybody's been getting on the pace. Everybody's got no fear and they've been going for it.
And as dreams rise and fall, Grand Slam is still salt in the wound.
And weirdly, he didn't mention at all the fact that
it wasn't going to fucking happen.
Every stride and steeple carries a cost. But when the body whispers and then screams, how far must one go to find the truth?
Couldn't let Morgan have all the fun in the MRI machine. So I had three, I got three MRIs in 24 hours.
But you got three MRIs?
Find out more on the Coffee Club podcast.
Like and subscribe.
Coffee Club, Coffee Club. Grind your beans and grab your favorite mug. It's Ollie, Morgan, George, and Gus. It's them boys from Coffee Club. Boys from Coffee Club.
Welcome back to the Coffee Club podcast, episode 192. We're your hosts, George and Ollie, holding it down today. Morg is probably sleeping, actually, in Australia, so
I'd hope he'd be sleeping.
We've just been doing duos the last couple of weeks.
Yeah, it's been duos back and forth.
Is it? I say that like I know. Is that a Fortnite thing?
Yeah, it is. It's a Fortnite thing.
What does it mean?
Duos just means that it's like you and your buddy going against other two. Yeah.
Is it actually like as a team?
Yeah, your team of two people and then you versus other teams of two people.
Who's your top duo partner?
Probably Avery right now. He's the one that carries me the most. But I have played a bit with Dylan. Dylan Jacobs and a bit with Kai Robinson. And sometimes Joe. Joe jumps in a little bit. Joe Klecker. But no, it's just the duos. I mean, George has taken the important seat of Morgan to lead off the podcast. We're so used to having him just kind of roll it off. It is funny not having him here. Obviously,
just like, I'm in his seat. Sadly missed. No one's actually on the video. We're actually in the studio and I'm in Morgan's seat. So it feels... I don't know. It feels a little wrong.
Yeah,
but he's got it pretty comfy over here.
Yeah, he's got it pretty relaxed.
Looks so. Wish us luck over this next podcast. Hopefully, it's recording and all that. Morgan stole the camera too.
Oh yeah, I saw that
to do YouTube. So
yeah. He is his camera. He does own it, so he didn't really steal it. But
see, that's a good point. But all right, today on the podcast, what are we going to talk about? We'll do a little catch up on post-Europe trip for George, maybe Ollie's week in Boulder.
Yeah.
Don't know what he's been up to.
Yeah.
Maybe a couple of reviews of meets that have been happening in Europe. It's been absolutely bananas over there.
Yeah.
And maybe a preview of a Faith Kip Yegon situation.
Dub 4.
Attempt going down. Actually, if this releases on Thursday, it might have already happened. Or today, anyway. And I'm excited for a small preview of Western States, which Ollie has so much knowledge on that I just can't wait.
I don't even know what Western States.
Exactly.
You mentioned that in the group chat. I have no idea what it is. It's like Western States.
That's going to be the best bit of the podcast.
It's trail running.
But I better do a couple of bean shout outs to get us started. Very kindly had some beans brought to me in Stockholm. From a couple of the lads who'd come all the way from Edinburgh to come watch and reminded me of some happy memories from Scotland. Where are they from? Machina
Coffee Roasters. Machina.
They're actually bloody good.
See, the thing is, I can tell now I have this thing. I don't know if you have this too, George. When a coffee bag is like this texture.
Oh, dude.
And it's like this type of bag.
These white bags.
If it's this green type of bag, you usually know it's going to be really good coffee.
I've never had like bad
why,
coffee
but every time like we've got a bag like this or we've seen a bag like this and bought one, for me personally, it's always been really good coffee. It's this type of texture of bag and type of bag itself. But it's a green flag.
They're delicious. A little, whoa, I didn't even read Papua New Guinea. I didn't even read that.
Yeah. That's an unusual one. We don't usually get a lot of Papua New Guinea beans. You're Ethiopia.
I don't know if I've ever had that.
Really? You've never had Papua New Guinea beans?
I feel like I don't often have beans not from either South America or Africa. Papua New Guinea, we're like Southeast Asia, like the Pacific.
Yeah. You've had Hawaiian beans though, right?
Probably. Yeah, that's true.
Probably rarely. But this is probably, yeah, I've had Papua New Guinea beans before. It's pretty good.
They're, maybe I just read Congo on top and
thought it was, assumed
it was Africa.
Yeah.
Oh, they're actually bloody good though. And I also have a bag brought to me by Ollie here.
Yes.
So this is a joint shout out. Basically, Supreme Roastworks again. We both got a bag with our names on them.
We did. When I finished the race, I obviously previewed the bags that I had, but I received three bags for George, a little personalized one for George, which was very sweet. So
he kept it as a surprise.
Well, I wanted to keep it as a surprise because I think it's a pretty cool thing. Is,
are they like one-offs? Are they in, like, can you buy them?
I think there is a Jordan Donnelly one as well. I don't know if you can buy them. I signed a few bags for me. I think he was maybe expecting you to be there. I'm not sure, but, these beans, like, I'm pretty sure you can buy these beans with George on them, maybe buy the Jordan Donnelly ones, and then there's the Ollie ones. But it's a very, very cool and very sweet gesture. So
is it also a coffee shop? Like,
yeah, it's a coffee shop in Bislett. So in the,
that neighborhood.
Yeah. In the neighborhood. He's the one that got Joe the jumper and the t-shirt.
Must be a big running fan.
Yeah. Yeah. I think he has a coffee shop near that area.
So. If not a runner.
Yeah. Oh wait, it's on the bottom corner here. I think it's
we gotta start a coffee company at some point.
Yeah. Well, that's my goal, George. I'd love to do that.
Did you see? I saw recently. You know, Lachlan Morden, the Australian cyclist.
Yeah.
He used to live in Boulder. He has his own instant coffee business.
Instant coffee.
Yeah. Well, because he's like an adventure rider. Like, I don't know how many.
Yeah. So he
times he's just like sleeping on in like a tent or something, and he's made like. Basically, like trying to make like really good instant coffee.
That's actually really
it's cool. Called it's got a funny name. Pretty good instant what is it called? It's something funny like that. And so it's like somehow trying to make instant coffee good. It looks nice. I haven't had it, but I just found that out recently. I was like, that's actually a really good idea.
It's pretty sick.
So speaking of what's been happening in Boulder, actually,
yeah.
Recently, our favorite Formula One driver. Was in Boulder.
I saw this.
Valtteri Bottas. I didn't get to see him. But did you see he ate 51 tacos?
I saw that.
Tiaco?
I saw that.
In 1 hour?
I've been to Tiaco and those tacos are kind of big.
What is that some kind of superhuman feat? What are we talking?
You must be riding a lot, man.
How many have you eaten?
I mean, a bar taco, I've eaten 10. And that was a lot for me. Whereas like Tiacos, they're bigger tacos.
Aren't they? They're like, but aren't they on Tuesdays? Aren't they like street tacos?
They're street tacos. They're smaller. So did he go on Tuesday? He must have went on Tuesday to eat 51.
I think so because it's like an actual thing. It's like a record.
All right. Well, it's pretty crazy they did that. To be fair though, I was laughing because I was seeing in the group chat the boys were posting Valtteri's whereabouts with coffee and they were trying to, you guys are trying to catch him at some point. I think he was at Verb at one point.
Definitely went to Verb.
Did he go to anywhere else that we know? Did he go to Dry Storage? Did he go to Box
Alpine Modern.
Alpine Modern.
On the hill.
Really? Yeah,
definitely.
I didn't think that would be one that he would tick off, but it makes, I guess, aesthetic wise.
It is cool on the, like, it was just photo of the patio and it's got a very distinctive patio there.
Yeah, it does, yeah.
But 51, I think any, like, that is like the new record at this taco shop in Boulder.
It's kind of insane.
That's almost one a minute.
Yeah. Unless he was there for like multiple hours.
It has to be 1 hour. That's the record.
Oh, really?
How many can you eat in an hour?
So we ate a taco in a minute.
Almost.
That's insane.
Dude, the dude's a beast. I was already my favorite driver. Now just even more so.
The dude's got an appetite. I respect that.
Are you going to go watch Formula One movie on Friday?
It looks
pretty good.
It looks good, but it's funny because like you can tell what characters what. Like the Javier Bardem's character is this basically Toto Wolff. Like that's basically who Toto Wolff
is. There?
Javier Bardem is like the guy that recruits back.
Oh, yeah.
Like, that's Toto Wolff. That's like literally just Toto Wolff. And then the young gun like coming through and then the old guy coming in to join. Like it's just such a narrative that you see in the F1. I'm wondering if the F1 drivers are going to think about it in comparisons to what their lives are like or how it actually like brings justice to
the sport. I think they've like filmed it like at the races and everything.
Well,
I think they're like pretty integrated.
It's already been spoilers because there's been clips of like Brad Pitt's character like holding up the trophy and shit. Like there's been clips of like him at the Formula One doing stuff like that with Mercedes. I think the Mercedes car? I think he was wearing a white Mercedes top. Anyway, I guess the movie, I mean,
I'm going to go see it, I think.
I would go. I mean, there's a couple movies I really need to see that I haven't seen yet. But
like what?
Thunderbolts. I really need to see Thunderbolts. I need to see that new Wes Anderson film. I got to see that.
I like those.
There's a couple of films. I've just been a bit slack on it. I've been watching too much TV.
Yeah, what have you been doing? What have you been doing the last week in Boulder? That.
I've been doing that. I am in the process right now, not to jinx it, but I'm in the process of buying a house at the moment, and it's stressful.
Big news.
A lot of people would say it's very stressful.
Everyone will be very excited to hear that because a few weeks ago, well, maybe they'll be disappointed, but a few weeks ago, you had a plan to buy something else.
Yeah, I did. I had a plan to buy it.
Put out in the world on the podcast.
I had a plan to do a GoFundMe, buy this place and save Coffee Club studio because I know this place is sold.
Okay, that too. I meant the car.
Oh, the Porsche. Yeah, yeah.
You know, instead of buying a car, it seems like buying a house.
Yeah.
So I think that seems like a good decision.
From what I looked at personally and from other people's opinions and perspectives, it's a better investment. It's a better investment. So, but I'm getting to a point now. I'm currently living in a sublease and the people that actually own the apartment, unfortunately, the owner has passed away recently and they don't know what they're going to do with the property. The son's taken over and my sublease is up July 31st and I'm hoping closing date would be around 23rd of July. So, which is good timing for me.
It would be good timing.
And it would be very nice to, I mean, I don't know if I've spoken about this on the podcast, but every year I've moved. Almost every 6 months to a year I've moved.
So, moving fucking sucks.
Moving sucks. I've done it 4 or 5 times since I've been in Boulder. I'd never moved in college. Once I moved into the house I was in college, that was it. So moving has sucked, but this will hopefully end that. And it's a nice place. And hopefully it all goes well. But I've been a bit busy, a bit stressed, but that's just the process of it all for the past week. And then other than that, just back at training.
Stay tuned for that.
Stay tuned for that. Back at training.
We'll do a big preview next week for the old Bowman Mile. Everything going to plan?
Yeah, somewhat.
Don't want to give away too many spoilers before next week. But
Nah. Can't do that. But
that's coming up.
Training's been solid. I'm still a bit tired, but I feel like that's just the way it is this time of the year. I feel like in the next week, be hard training. And then the week after that, we'll start freshening up for the Bowman Mile. I felt like when I talked about in the pod last week, all the little bits and pieces of my racing is hopefully going to come together in the next two races, which will be London and Prix. And Prix is going to be one of my favorite races because I get to race with Yard. I get to race with a lot of the big dogs, which will be very, very exciting. Just looking forward to getting out there and giving it my best shot. So training's been going pretty well. It's been hot as absolute balls here. So it's cooling off now. It's been a bit nicer with the weather. Other than that, Gus is doing well. He's gone on a lot of walks. He did a world record in a poo. I had to use 3 doggy bags for one of his poos recently. It was impressive.
Is he going to be the owner of the house? Like when you sign the papers?
Well, he's signing the papers. He's the owner.
Is he going to let you live? Are you going to rent from Gus?
Yeah, actually, well, I'm with my, I'm hoping to have like a roommate. So like I was thinking in the lease terms, it'd be like, you have to like listen to what Gus wants. If he wants to walk, if he wants to take a poo, like you have.
That's in the contract.
Yeah, that's in the contract. So.
That actually makes sense.
Yeah, but that makes sense. He's doing well. And things have been good in Boulder. Everyone's kind of almost everyone's back from Europe.
Yeah. Well,
everyone is back from Europe. I think everyone's back.
I was on my, I think yesterday.
Yesterday, the last day, everyone was back.
So that's what I was doing while you guys were filming last week, coming back from my European trip, which similar to Ollie's. No, actually yours was kind of, you had a few days.
I had
feeling in between.
2 or 3 days in Leipzig, yeah.
That was slightly extended for some training, but shorter than they have been the last few years.
Definitely.
I only went for 6 days and raced twice in that time. And back to Stockholm, one of my favorite races of the year. And to Turku for the Paavo-Nurmi Games for the first time, which shit, I was impressed by.
Yeah, what was that like?
I haven't done many, if like any at all, any gold label meets. I don't think I've ever done one in Europe, but I do see a lot and they're often like, they're very well attended. They often look quite a lot like a Diamond League.
Just the labeling's just not the same.
Labeling and maybe like slightly smaller stadium, but for the most part, like some of those Diamond League stadiums are Like, they're not huge, but they are super well attended. And similar, like, this stadium was freaking packed. And, like, not, like, rural Finland, but, like, 2 hours south of Helsinki in this, like, kind of smaller town. Like, it's fucking random.
Yeah.
And, like, the stadium's packed. And, like, there were some people that, like, some locals that knew who I was at Premi. Maybe some coffee club fans.
That's awesome.
I was, like, in this town in Finland. I was like, what's going on here?
They're everywhere, man.
Yeah.
They're everywhere.
And, like, super nice track. Like, fresh Mondo. Huge stadium. And, like, the stand was, like, super tall. And the track was, like, set down. Like, below the ground, kind of.
That's like a Monaco track.
And yeah, like I would definitely consider going back for the meet itself. Like, the fans were great. Super well put on. The food was unreal. It was basically like cold smoked salmon and hot smoked salmon at like every single meal.
That sounds about right.
Kind of Stockholm too. Yeah. It's like not super unexpected there, but
Oslo was similar to that.
Yeah. I think they've actually tried to, maybe this is why this meet is also super well attended now, is like they've tried to combine that. It's like the Scandi tour, like Oslo, Stockholm, Finland. And they have like, maybe I talked about it right before I left, the cruise ship option. So like they have a train that they put on for the athletes from Oslo, Stockholm. And then they have a boat that they put on Stockholm to Turku.
That's sick.
For the next one. So they kind of like tried to condense these three like Scandinavian meets, which is actually a very good idea.
It's awesome, man.
I don't know if Finland did three. That would be...
Well, yeah. I mean, it would have to... That'd
be kind of crazy.
Oslo.
2 days off. Stockholm, one day off.
And then, that'd be a lot. That'd be a lot.
I don't know if Finland did that, but a lot of people did...
Two of three, probably.
Two out of three, I think. Yeah. The only reason I would maybe not go... It is pretty... It's kind of shitty to get to.
Yeah, it doesn't sound like it's an easy commute.
Like, it was easy from Stockholm because it was... We just took a direct flight, decided not to take the 12-hour boat ride.
Yeah. Which is probably a good idea.
The day before the meet. But, I mean, one of the guys in the stable who got the standard took the boat. So,
oh, really?
I mean, kind of been that bad.
Yeah. Oh, it was just like that. Maybe the boat was the reason why I got the standard.
Maybe.
Maybe it was just too nice and too lovely. Nice, relaxing trip.
Apparently, you got like a full cabin with like a queen bed and everything.
It's pretty nice.
It actually does sound pretty good. But then when we were leaving Turku, we had to leave at like we didn't have to, but we chose to. We left the hotel at 1 a.m.
Yeah, that sounds about right. And neither
I didn't even go to sleep.
Countries, yeah.
I was having dinner after the race at like 10:30. I was like, well, fuck, I guess I'll be back downstairs in a couple of hours.
Yeah.
Went upstairs, packed, laid down for a bit.
That was me in Oslo as well.
And then came straight back down.
Yeah.
And then like 2 hour drive to Helsinki, fly back to mainland Europe. So it was like, in that sense, but I mean, a lot of meets are kind of a grind to get to. This one just slightly more so because it's not in the main city.
Also, we live in the US.
Yeah.
But like a lot of the Europeans probably don't see it as like that hard of a commute. For us, it's like, well, we have to fly into Europe first, but but it sounds like it was a pretty interesting trip. Like, that sounds like a cool way to do it, you know?
And as maybe some people saw, maybe some people didn't, they're listening, but ran a couple steeples, ran 8:13 for second in Stockholm, which was the positives. Obviously, I'd rather get the standard than not get the standard. If those were my two options.
Big positive.
Like, if that's what I had to choose between, I'm going to choose the one where I get the standard. But obviously, would have loved to be more competitive for the win and not feel as shit as I did. But that was just the way things are going at the moment. And hats off to Carl Bebendorf. I mean, shit, he ran well. PR'd by a few seconds.
Yeah.
Ran 8:11 and was pretty dominant over the last lap. I think he kind of took the lead with maybe 200 to go because Wale was hitting a bit of a wall. I was able to catch the rest of the field, but he had a decent gap. So, I mean, good for him. German steeplechasers are running bloody
well.
They're
doing really well right now, man.
That's not the guy that just ran 8:11.
No, that's a different guy.
But now there's... he medaled at Europeans last year. I think he was bronze, and now, running 8:11 twice in 3 days. He came second at Turku behind Freddie. The first, the Germans, they're actually running really well on the steeple at the moment. The
steeples are really starting to put
the knees good for them. Up. So nothing against, what his race was, but yeah, I felt like that's easily, a level I should be at. But for a multitude of reasons, I wasn't, which maybe I'll get to in a second. and then, got to enjoy the rest of the meet, because the steeple was early on, and, got to watch Kai rip a 12:58 and, an absolute Swedish domination of every other event, it seemed like. It was like, I don't know, it was like Swedish National Day or something.
It was like, shit, the Swedes are pretty good at fucking field, bro.
I stayed in the stadium. I cooled down and then spent the rest, like came back to the stadium and like the kind of athlete area. And like as halfway through Andreas's European record on home soil, Mondo's breaking the world record at the end of the track. What? And the stadium's going absolutely bonkers.
Yeah, it's
pretty sick. What's going on here?
It's pretty sick.
Like every hometown athlete was putting on a show. So, it's actually kind of one of my favorite meets to go to as well. Just the Swedish athletes are so friendly and fun to be around. And had a number of meals with Andreas and Samuel, who's you just raced against a couple of times, who just started, I mean, not just started, but had a couple of breakthroughs and is running incredibly well. And there's a bunch of Swedish steeplechasers and 800 guys, and they're all, just lovely guys. And it's always fun to talk to Andreas about training. If anyone's ever listened to, actually, I just saw today, I'm pissed that he's been on the Let's Run podcast instead of the Coffee Club. I mean, I think that's on us.
I know that's probably mostly on us.
We need to make that happen.
He would 100% come on the pod.
I know it's funny because I know he's listening.
Yeah, he would 100% come on the pod. I mean, that's something that we've got to logistically work.
Yeah,
I'd love to. We'll get him on. We'll get you on. Don't worry.
You're high on the list. We just need to make it happen. We'll get Tom on the job as well to organize that.
Yeah.
But he's just a freaking smart dude.
Yeah.
And it was fun to chat to like what he'd been up to before his 12:44.
Well, his workout that they posted was really interesting.
Did you see that? I actually took a screenshot of that.
It was a 3K at 7:40, 1500 at 3:43, and then he ran 300s at 45 to 44.
Is the 3K or the 1500 more impressive for a workout?
3K.
I think it is the 3K. Yeah.
The thing is, going from a 7:43K to then a 3:43
6 minutes rest
is just extremely impressive, considering he can run that and then kind of like, because the 1500 meter pace is quicker, so he's able to accelerate and also like,
yeah. What's crazy is that 7:40. I mean, it's not. I mean, you have to go through. I think he went through in like 7:42. So
yeah. So he went 2 seconds slower.
You do need to be able to run that and it, to feel maybe not easy, but at least like pretty doable.
Yeah.
Which is,
I mean,
which
everyone
is kinda
that
crazy.
Goes through 3K in the 5K, you're either going to be able to hang on and keep going, or it's going to feel fucking miserable. So doing a work like that can definitely tell you I'm ready to go, I'm ready to rip. So
yeah,
very impressive workout.
I know,
and
he
also
was doing
12 days out, which I think is something that people should very, very much pay attention to. Like, it's not a week out. It's not a pre-race workout where like, oh, they hammer. It's like, oh, I'm ready to go. Like, he did this 12 days out. He gave himself time to freshen up, recover, and sharpen up into the race. Like, I feel like a lot of people make that mistake where 7 days out, they'll rip a workout and think, oh, yeah, I'm ready to run this. And then all of a sudden you're like, oh, I'm a bit burnt out in the race. He's done this 12 days out, which is extremely smart because your body needs time to recover from something like that.
I think the science says that 7 is not enough for the your hardest session.
No.
That is. I mean, assuming he didn't do, like, he definitely would have worked out again. On the Norwegian plan, he probably worked out 3 or 4 more times in between the race, but mostly threshold, I'm assuming.
Yeah, the intensity wouldn't have been like that for sure.
Yeah, exactly. I also know he was spending a decent chunk of time doing some heat training while he was down from altitude. So he's dialed in.
Yeah, he's ready for Tokyo.
Yeah, would love to have him on to get to the bottom of a few of those things. But he'll be back in Monaco for another 5K in a few weeks. So we'll see what he can do when he doesn't have to lead
all the race.
How many? I don't even know how many laps that was. Too many. So that was Stockholm. Lovely few days. My mom and dad actually came.
Oh, nice.
They were in Europe, on doing their own thing, and were just in a position where they could hop on a flight from Italy up to Stockholm for a day or two, which worked out really well. So mom and dad got to watch me race and had a couple of dinners and coffees with them. So that was definitely a bonus.
What was their favorite coffee shop? Did they have Ooh. A coffee shop that they kind of liked in Stockholm that they were like, this is a good place? Did you give them a good place
We went to two different ones. And then the one I also like, we went to Comet, it's called, and then Gust, which I think is Swedish for ghost because their logo is this cute little ghost.
That's cool. I like
Which I like the vibe at that one. Comet is just convenient. It's like the closest one to the hotel.
Mm-hmm.
So it's good walking distance. And then this one, I normally go to this one called Volca, I think, but that was closed on the day we tried to go.
Yeah.
But if you've, Pascal is another good one. That's where Curtis spent most of his time.
Curtis loves Pascal. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
He was asking me why I wasn't in Stockholm. I was like, I didn't get into the 5K.
I think he has a pretty good time there. Probably because Mondo is probably hosting all the pole vaulters.
Mondo literally just looks after all the pole vaulters. He said that they just go golfing and just do whatever they want with him.
It's a good, I mean,
they got a good crew there.
Yeah, it's a great time to be in the pole vault crew, but it's also a tough time because that you're...
I mean, Curtis has been third in every diamond. Like, he's been second a couple of times, but he's just third.
Yeah, he jumped 590 in Stockholm?
He jumped 582.
No, I think he jumped 582 just like yesterday.
Oh, yesterday in Czech. In Ostrava.
Yeah, in Ostrava. I think it was 590. Yeah. It was legit.
It was a good jump.
Yeah.
Shout out to Curtis.
He's always a good coffee wreck.
Oh, yeah, 100%.
And then next day took direct flight to Turku. Had a pretty rough pre-meet off the plane that evening. And just got straight back into the next day. So it's kind of a simulation of what Worlds would be. Two races in 3 days. One day in between, minus the travel to a different country, hopefully. And so that was kind of the idea behind it. Just another chance for a really good steeple because the field was shaping up to be as good, if not even better in Finland. And came back and ran 8:17 and came sixth. I actually don't know.
That area.
Yeah. And it felt even worse than the first one.
What a shocker.
I wasn't overly surprised.
Yeah.
I think it felt like it felt possible to do two in a couple of days, if I can get some other things figured out. And it wasn't a complete disaster. Didn't run 8:40. Again, felt like should have been competing at the front of the race, but just wasn't able to make that happen on the day. But happy to have ticked off a couple of European meets. And so mostly the reason they felt so bad upon returning, I decided to try and get to the bottom of why my body's been feeling pretty rough for a couple of the last few months, maybe 2.5 months. As you guys know, I didn't run a steeple in LA because things didn't feel quite right. And so I did a flat race there, in the hopes that would be not so bad on the body and would give me a few more weeks to figure out, at the time what was going on my ankle, before steeple. And, I took a few days off after that 5K in the hopes that would be enough, to figure some stuff out. it turns out it wasn't really. Yeah, I know I said that it felt more ready to do a steeple before I left, which wasn't a lie, but it also wasn't maybe the full truth in terms of it probably wasn't as good as it needed to be to run at my best. And on top of that, I'd started in the past month, probably the end of May, started having some right other leg pain. So there are some weeks of training that were hard and hard physically and hard mentally, just painful. Some painful runs and kind of just right at the level where it felt like I was close to figuring it out, and I was trying to stay optimistic that I could get these couple of races in and build on the rest of the season. And long story short, couldn't let Morgan have all the fun in the MRI machine. So I got three MRIs in 24 hours.
Wait, you got three MRIs? What?
Why? It's the only way to catch Morgan's tally for the year.
What's his tally right now? It's like fucking 10 or some shit.
I think he's about 5 or 6.
I think you've just broken the record for the most in like one sitting. Three.
Three in 24 hours is good numbers.
That's really good numbers.
See, that's...
I don't think I've ever heard anyone get three MRIs. Maybe two. Yeah. Not three.
Well, I got two at once.
You got two at once. Okay.
And then
a third one.
Just third one for luck.
Okay.
The next day.
It has to be an odd number. Actually, no, you like even numbers. That doesn't sound right. You like even numbers. You do not like odd numbers.
Yeah, third time's a charm.
Third time is the charm, but you like strides where it's like if you do strides, you like four strides, not three. You like six strides.
Obviously.
Anyway, sorry, continue.
And so I got one on my ankle and I got one on my quad hip on the other leg. No, sorry, same leg, both on the right. And I've almost never gone into an MRI, or I've almost never got a result from an MRI that I didn't expect. Like I've almost every time that I've either had like sacrum or last year in Paris, ischial tuberosity, bone stress stuff. I don't even know what else I've had them on, but almost every time I'm like, this is what I think it's going to be. All right. This is what it was.
Yeah. So you kind of,
at some point, like, you know, even like, I'm sure when you got your sacrum, you had a pretty good idea that that was what it was going to be.
OP, yeah.
There's like, and that stuff too. Yeah. So the ankle is inflamed. That's basically the joint is not great. Bunch of white showing up on the MRI in the joint space, which is basically just inflammation and fluid. So, and the structures, but all the structures are good. So the tendon's good, the ligament's good, the bones are good, which is kind of what I expected, but the joint, like there's a lot of inflammation and just white stuff that is just causing like from the irritation. And so
just hanging around. Like,
the ankle is not operating how it should be. And like it's causing a lot of other stuff and it hurts like hell. So, but because it's simply, just inflammation and my body's not getting rid of it on its own, seeing as it's been, you know, almost, it's probably been 2.5 months now. I think we're going to stick a little cortisone shot in there tomorrow, which is, I've never done before. And I'm always been hesitant to do that kind of thing. Like I'd rather not have to do it.
You should call Morgan before.
Yeah, maybe I will.
He's gotten a few of those.
But like the thing is, I wouldn't want to, it's not good at healing anything. So if like, I wouldn't want to put it in to something that was broken or torn or strained, or because that just masks the pain.
Right.
And,
but the structure's okay.
But everything's actually good.
It's just the stuff's hanging around.
It's just that there's inflammation.
The cortisone's just going to get rid of that.
In theory, yes.
In theory.
So I feel better about, getting it for that reason, because yeah, I should just sort out the inflammation and get the ankle operating good again. Mm. Unfortunately, I also have a stress reaction in my femur.
What?
So, that's not ideal.
That's what you didn't expect. Is that what?
I knew that one was there.
You knew that one was there as well. So you knew going in what these were. You were just like, I need to get the MRI done so I can see them.
Just to get everyone on. And yeah, it's just easy to have a clear idea of the rehab, the treatment.
Yeah.
The return to running, the peace of mind for the coaches, the physios.
What stage is it for the team? Did you get it early?
Well, I mean, I raced on it a bit.
Yeah, I know that, but I'm just thinking in the sense of like,
it's not fractured.
It's not fractured. Okay.
I'm really good at getting
not fracturing
injured and compensating enough to hurt my bones, but I'm also really strong. And I've never actually fractured anything.
Okay. So it's just a stress reaction.
Yeah. I'm just really good at those.
Yeah. You've mastered the stress reaction.
Yeah. Okay. So yeah. And yeah, not looking for sympathy here, but.
Don't worry. You weren't going to get it.
Okay. Not from you, you fucker.
I'm kidding.
Not from you.
You know what was the thing is obviously like you haven't like this is the first time I'm hearing this, so you haven't really told me anything. But like the past week,
well, like beans, I was just giving a surprise.
It's a surprise, yeah. I gave Jordy beans, and this is a surprise for me. I love the surprise. It's fucking great. God fucking damn it. But it was funny every day. I'm always turning the coaches, not knowing. I'm like, oh, where's George? It's like, oh, is George having a vacation break from being in Europe? And now I feel like an asshole because George is obviously going through 3 MRIs in one day. But I mean, that fucking sucks, George. But I tell you what, you're probably the best athlete in the world that I know that can run 2 steeples in a couple of days off
with reactors
and a fucked up ankle.
I've mastered that.
You've mastered that. If there was an event or a section where we could just run athletes like that, you would have the fucking world record.
The crippled section.
Just being a fucking constantly crippled. The one thing that Jason, because I saw Jason after you, did he tell you about the birdseed thing? He was telling me about it.
That's some ankle rehab.
Can we talk about that? Because it's super interesting. I want to see if this works. Because I asked him about different comparisons. So like Jason wants you to work on a section of your ankle that needs a bit more strengthening. Because apparently you're like very stuck in a certain way. Is that right?
Yeah.
I don't know the details of it, but.
It's basically like he wants a lot of movement and like move the inflammation around, create some joint space, like keep everything mobile and squeaky, oiled, clean. And if anyone's seen like what's Ollie's talking about, the birdseed is like resisted ankle movement in a bucket of birdseed.
Tyson came in with a bucket, Home Depot bucket, and some birdseed when I was getting treatment.
Did anyone test it out?
What the fuck's going on? And then Jason's like telling me this is what I want to do. And he was explaining it and I was like asking him, okay, so why don't you use sand? He's like, sand's too hard to get into. Like birdseed's easier. It's a bit more coarse. You can kind of move it around. Water's not strong enough. Like it's good, but it's not strong enough. Like as
water.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Okay.
It's not strong enough. Birdseed's stronger.
Not enough friction.
Not enough friction. Birdseed's the right amount of friction. And also you can get your foot in it. Whereas in sand it's a bit harder.
Yeah. True. That's funny. The other one you can use is rice.
Rice. But he mentioned don't use rice because it's just, you have to throw it out.
He's like, oh, it's wasteful. Wait, he's like, use birdseed and then you can feed the birds.
Yeah. He's like, it's a double thing. Like Jordy can strengthen his ankle and then you can just go feed the birds outside. I was like, sounds perfect, Jason.
I feel like people might've heard of this and like, apparently it's like a baseball thing. People put their wrists or elbows in like a bucket of rice and then you kind of just do like, you just move it around for a minute or two and it's like basically resisted movement in like every direction. Mm. So just like supposed to get a bunch of blood flow, some joint movement. I don't know. I've never actually done it before. So
it's going to be really interesting. I'm very interested to see how it goes out because that's something that I think is like super, super cool in the sense of, it's something that maybe even like people could use later on in just training.
Yeah, it'd be interesting to see how it feels. I'll give an update next week.
I would love that update.
But I also have just got a cortisone shot. So,
wait, have you got it or you?
No, but by then.
Oh yeah.
So it'd be hard to differentiate which one is.
Yeah.
Which one's done? Was it the birdseed or was it the cortisone?
Damn, that's going to be the problem. You're not going to know which one actually caused the.
Probably it'll be the birdseed. That'll be the one that fixes.
That's what I'll be saying. That's what I'll be saying.
That's what I'll tell people.
I'll be promoting that. I'll be promoting that. Shit.
I won't be telling people to get cortisone. I'll be saying
nah.
Yeah.
Don't get cortisone.
Home Depot bucket birdseed.
that would save you a bit of money as well.
Yeah, exactly.
Particularly if you can't get your medical done. Yeah. So
what's the plan moving forward with training and with stuff? Are you gonna give
it's early days, but I mean the good thing about having run on it for a month and run a couple of steeples with a fucked up femur is that maybe the healing, maybe the clock already started. It doesn't feel as bad now as it did a month ago. So maybe I was in the slightly healing it while.
You were healing it while you're running?
That's probably not true, but but I don't think it doesn't feel like, it's probably like a 4 to 6 week kind of situation, but the boost allows you to get running a lot earlier. And I feel like the MRI was not it. Like it wasn't at day zero. It's probably already a couple of weeks into it. So whether that's getting on the boost, like getting on the boost doesn't feel that far away. You know, maybe it's a week to 2 weeks from now. Is my prediction.
Yeah.
For the femur, because I'm pretty good at healing them.
Yeah, you've been down this road before.
Had a lot of practice.
Yeah.
So, yeah, there's an update for everyone.
Fucking hell, man. Coffee Club boys are
luckily
going down one by one.
What is nice is that Worlds is
September,
almost 3 months away.
Yeah, nothing. It's actually, if anything, you're gonna get fitter.
Exactly, and like
we're all gonna be overtrained. We're all gonna be super overtrained in September, and you watch Geordie will be fucking fresh and ripe and ready for the plucking.
Geordie Morgs just be hitting.
Yeah, when you guys will be going up, right. Everybody else is going down in September.
Now I'm sad in that I, will not be going to Monaco, unfortunately. Probably not a shock.
Yeah, I was gonna say. Oh, you just
would have loved to be in
Monaco. Push it for one more. I mean, you've gotten this far.
Exactly. That's the thing. Like,
you've gotten this far.
I was like, I did it for. No, I. There's enough PTSD from last year doing that for too long. And it already felt like I'd done it for fucking ages through April and May and now June. Yeah, God, a couple more weeks, Monaco. And then, a couple more weeks after that.
Yeah.
Oh, I'll just go to Worlds.
I'll just wait till the season's over. And then
exactly. I decided not to do that. Yeah.
Probably a good decision.
Maybe I'll eventually run a healthy steeple for the first time since 2023.
Yeah.
We'll see. I'm about fucking sick of talking about that. So yeah.
Let's talk about something that
Let's talk
about something else. And I'm gonna briefly touch on the two meets with Paris and Strava. Because like I don't think there's too much to say other than
Everyone's seen the results.
So like
what are your hot takes? Let's just go with that.
I think it's
or cold. There's any takes.
My take is it's awesome. It's honestly awesome, but it's also like it shouldn't be a surprise. I don't think people should be surprised. I honestly don't. If you look at the past few years, everybody's been getting used to time trial racing. Everybody's been getting on the pacer. Everybody's got no fear and they've been going for it. I remember during 2024, we had this conversation about how fast everyone was running. Like, oh, this is insane. This is crazy. It's the same. It's just back-to-back years. Yes, there might've been some, you know, Olympic fatigue, but people are just out there and they want to run fast and they crush it. It's honestly not surprising, but it's also amazing. I'm pretty amazed with Habs. Like that 327 is no joke. Running that in a home crowd is something that I think you'll remember forever. It's a pretty incredible experience. George Mills running 328 is insane because the UK 1500 meters is now just incredibly stacked. When you've got Josh Kerr as the 327 guy, you've got now Mills is 328. You have Whiteman, who's a world champion, who's 329. You have Neil Gooley. The list is just ongoing. And then now you have Americans popping up, like Josh Huey is running 329 in Strava with Cam Myers, who honestly, Cam, that was coming. That was coming. Congratulations to you, Cam. That's fucking awesome. Thank God he didn't get my record.
Yeah, he's knocking on the door.
I need to start running.
But great to see him break the 3:30 mark. So well deserved, and great race in Strava for those boys.
I think that is almost the thing that I'm most impressed by. Like you said, it's in Strava. It's at a gold label meet followed by a non-Diamond League 1500 in Paris.
Yeah. They're without, not Diamond League events. I should have said that.
Without
Diamond League events.
Without the people who are known for pushing the pace.
No Yared, no Jakob.
No, I don't know what the top finisher from the Olympics was in either of those two races. Maybe Nielsen.
Maybe not.
In Paris, Stefan Nielsen.
Yeah.
Who broke the Dutch record at 3:29.
Yeah.
He was what, 10th at the Olympics maybe?
Gulli was 10th. He was maybe...
Was he 9th?
9th. Maybe.
He was not in the top.
He was not in the top.
8, I don't think.
He was not in the top 8, no.
Like the fact that these two races are going on while the top 8 from the Olympics, let's say, someone can fact check that, waiting in the wings is probably what's impressed me the most. And without Jakob dragging everyone around.
Yeah, this is the second...
Like, is that the end of... Is this like the end of
the third
era?
I mean, this is the third race.
The third sub-330 race without Jakob.
Without Jakob. Since Jakob started.
Before that.
It was Tim.
It was unheard of for people to run. Like it would have been a long time since people had run that fast without Jakob.
Yep. I think it was Tim Cherry.
And now.
2019.
Habs took on that one in Paris and in
And then the
Rabat,
Kenyan guy, do you know his name?
Who yeah, Kowich. But honestly, Isaac Nader took it on after the pacer.
Yeah.
In Ostrava. Like, I think just the number of people like,
around.
And now, what was it? 11? There are 11 sub-330 performances on the year. And again, none of them came from the top, like...
Top 5, probably.
6 in the Olympics.
Yeah.
So...
It's incredible stuff. I mean, it'll be interesting to see those Grand Slam boys now go into actual racing.
Yeah,
I mean,
let's fucking get them on the track.
It's going to be interesting. I mean, I know you're not a huge fan of time trials.
No, that...
But this is going to be interesting.
These have been proper races. Like,
because everyone's there.
Everyone's fucking there.
Yeah.
I'm not complaining. Trust me.
No, because everyone's there. I think when
they've been incredible.
When people start spacing out. I mean, I was talking to Robert about it. Like, even the Rome race, like the way that 3:31 felt, that felt like a 3:34, 3:35 for me. It's just, I think now people are so fit and so well versed in how to run fast in the 15 that it's become.
Yeah, these races look like people are running 3:34.
I mean, dude, like when Whiteman won Worlds, he was third in Oslo and he ran 3:50. He ran the same time I ran. I was last in that race. It's a different kettle of fish now. But the spread's so much different from last to first. It's about 2 seconds. I mean, even every other race, everyone's there. So now it's going to get down to making no mistakes. You cannot make mistakes. It's going to be very, very, very methodical.
The margin of error from like, of winning and running fast and coming eighth and running fast.
Yeah. It's very small.
Is minuscule.
Very small. I mean, you can have a good race, finish ninth. You can have a good race and win. Yeah. It's an incredible event to be watching right now. And it's pretty sick.
Be watching? What do you mean? You're in it.
Well, I wasn't in those races, but I am in that.
No, yeah, but you're...
Yeah. But it is incredible. And, you know, I know when you see as an athlete, particularly as a competitor that has run 3:29, when you see guys do that, you think, shit, I got to get going, I got to get rolling. But again, you know, it's September. We got a lot more time to go and hopefully a lot more incredible races coming up, particularly London and Pre for me. But
what's interesting is that we're going a lot of miles from now. Bowen Mile and Mile in London.
Oh, I think the London's 15 from what Dathan told me.
Oh,
they keep going back and forth.
That.
They keep going back and forth. But I think the pre-mile will be interesting because I think that'll be the fastest mile of the year, in my opinion. I think that's not a huge hot take. Jakob's run 3:45 indoors for the world record. I think Yared, Josh, Cole, and a few other boys are going to run, try and run faster than that.
Really?
Like, I think 3:44. I think that's possible. I mean, Yara's looking great in practice.
Yeah.
I know Dathan's been, you know, saying, oh, he's going to run 3:41. I was like, well, let's not say that. Let's just say he's going
to... It will be interesting to see what... I said we wouldn't preview this till next week. Last comment on it before we do it next week. Yeah. Is if like how Myth Grand Slam made these guys good.
Yeah. Well,
like if they do a full Grand Slam season and then they come out and run 3:44, we'll be like, all right.
Well, they didn't do a full Grand Slam season, did they?
Okay, yes.
They didn't do a full Grand Slam season.
That's true.
Speaking of Grand Slam, it's been getting a bit of heat.
More heat.
More heat than usual. Actually, no, this is first big heat in Grand Slam history we're receiving from Bobby Kersey. He's made a few comments, as well as other people obviously been kind of upset with how things have gone down. George, you haven't been able to comment on how you feel about it all, because Morgan and I had our little chat about it on last week's episode. Do you want
to
let the people know how you feel about it? Because obviously, like, Grand Slam is a revolutionary thing for the sport. I want to know how you felt about how that whole situation went down.
Well, I'm still trying to decide whether I should have gone to Philly or not.
You would have maybe got the bank.
So I turned down an invite from Membrane to go to Philly in the hopes that I'd get invited to LA. And that backfired a wee bit.
He's gone to Commissioner Gordon. He's like, actually, we got to cancel. I promised Geordie he could do LA. I don't want him to do LA. We're canceling right now. We're just going to cancel it and just wait till next season.
And weirdly, he didn't mention at all the fact that LA wasn't going to fucking happen. Because maybe I would have come.
Yeah, maybe he would have done it. Yeah, do you think they planned this out like even before Philly, they knew that LA wasn't going to happen?
I don't think they did.
Yeah.
Nah, I think it really was like the day they announced it, they probably decided it.
Yeah.
So I didn't go to Philly.
No.
And who knows? Sounds like I wouldn't have gotten paid anyway. So
yeah, well,
I'm glad I didn't go.
We're going to see how the payment stuff goes, obviously. There's been chat about it.
We shouldn't really say that in case that it is just like,
yeah, it's all speculation. We don't really know.
A lot of running events take a long time.
They do
to pay.
Sometimes it takes 6 months to a year
for various reasons.
There's been people leaving Grand Slam. There's been critiques about Grand Slam. I mean, it'll be interesting to see how the next season goes. Morgan and I did mention that Grand Slam LA would have existed and actually would have just gone through the roof when it comes to metrics and stuff like that if they let the Coffee Club boys commentate the distance events. I think that's something that Carl Membrane and Commissioner Gordon really need to think about for this next season. What are we missing? We are missing three handsome gentlemen who are also runners who can commentate and do their very, very best and bring in a major fan base to the sport that they're already watching, but they would watch even harder. They'd watch even harder if the Coffee Club fans found out that George, Morgan and Ollie were commentating. So we're pushing that for next season. We got to keep pushing that.
Yeah. I think that's their only
best
hope for next season to even happen.
Anyway, they're staying afloat.
I think like if you had to have the odds, like if there were live odds on whether or not Grand Slam 2026 was going to happen.
Yeah, what are you betting?
Some long fucking odds. Like that better be some good returns on that.
What do you think?
I would not be putting my life savings on it.
No.
I'll do that much.
Would you fix certain things? What would you do? If you had, say you had unlimited money and you could run the next season of Grand Slam, what are the little things that you might change? I mean, the distance you kind of would stick with the 3K, 5K or 3K.
How long have you got?
Maybe we could open this into a 3-4 part episode, but I mean, I had a few opinions.
No, it wasn't opinions, that much. I think locations were wrong.
Yeah.
Not using, I don't know, more existing meat structure in ways they know that work in Europe that consistently sell out meats every single year. And a variety of things.
Yeah.
Many. Once you started seeing the Diamond League start, like minus the first couple in China, maybe I wasn't paying enough, probably as much attention. But I also think probably most people weren't. Like once Rome got going, Oslo got going, Stockholm got going, Paris is always a fucking incredible Diamond League. Once you started watching those, you
realize what the level is.
You realize you're like, all right, this is way better.
Yeah. There's a level.
Like when Grand Slam was on and there wasn't really anything else, like that seemed fine.
Mm.
And then once these other ones got going, it's like, well, fuck, this is actually really good. And like, man, I wish Grant Fisher was in this actually and not recovering from running six races.
He did make a lot of money though.
Yeah, good for him.
But this is the thing that I don't want to, as a foreigner, this is something I got to be careful with saying. Do you think the US as a whole, like, is not as supportive in just attending track and field meets compared to Europe? Or is it just because of access to the, like, where it is positioned, or how fans can get to these meets? Because we know that track and field fans exist in the US, but you go to Europe and every stadium is just completely sold out. It's just for me, like, Grand Slam had the opportunity to do that. And I feel like they definitely at Philly, it looked like they got really good crowds. I mean, that's a massive stadium. They got a decent crowd there. But
I think the US has like diehard track fans going to meets. Whereas I think in Europe, you have like random fans. That are looking for a fun afternoon on a Sunday.
Have a beer, go watch a track and field event. I mean, I think there's
more casual fans that are like more community oriented. I think, like, and that's literally coming from mum and dad sitting in the stands in Stockholm, talking to some people next to them. And like, they were shocked that they were like, mum and dad watching like their son run. Like, they just like brought their kids out for like the afternoon, just like for something to do. They'd like didn't know anyone in the whole meet, I don't think.
I think it also helps with, like, I mean, it's only running events for Grand Slam, like having Mondo in the vault. The vault is probably extremely big when it comes to sense. Obviously, certain field events,
some of them are pretty underrated.
Yeah. Receive crowds.
Mondo could fill a stadium on his own.
Yeah. Well, he has his own meet. So kind of crazy with that when you think about that. But I mean, obviously, I feel like there's track and field. American track and field fans deserve better when it comes to setting up a league in the US, in the sense of they deserve having packed stands and really good times. But I think you have a good point there with the European people maybe not being as diehard, but going just to enjoy it. Like going to a concert or going to an event where it's a fun time and it's enjoyable. I feel like that's something that Grand Slam could really work on for the next season, is trying to make it more accommodating to... For those fans. But
like, I think they'll get, like, USA's coming up in Eugene, be full of diehard track fans. It'll be good. USA's is actually a great meet.
USA's is a great meet.
But I just don't think there'll be that many people that are like just random fans, random sports fans thinking, well, let's go to this for the first time ever.
Yeah.
That could be wrong. What I assume won't be a very attended event, or maybe it will be. I have no idea. Is Faith Kipyegon's
sub-4 attempt.
Maybe do our final pre... We've actually talked about this a decent amount.
Yeah.
Which is probably exactly what they wanted to happen, is to create a lot of hype around something that we don't even know how it works. But it seems to be happening in the Diamond League Stadium in Paris.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know why it wasn't at the Diamond League.
Because I think her spike is illegal. The spike she's used.
Yeah,
I think
you could have just like had a...
Yeah, you could have a set of separate
and
event.
Just like know that it wasn't legit.
It wasn't legal, yeah.
So she got the spray on bra, a new speed suit, spikes. She's got paces from... She's got Craig Ingles out there. Did you see who's...
Craig's making sure that he's got his contract for the next
teardrops.
Year.
Grant's out there.
Yeah.
Instead of running the Diamond League, Grant's in Paris.
They're all just keeping their contract by just pacing for
him. Yeah. How much are they getting paid to do this, I wonder? I assume, well, why else would they?
Well, they might be under their Nike. They might be getting some help or money. But also, I think it's a big thing for Nike. It's a big thing.
How do you think Craig Ingles, Cooper Deer, Grant Fisher, who else is in that video? A couple of other funny.
Shuey's doing it.
Shuey. How do you think they're going to be utilized in this event?
I don't know. Maybe to make it look like the Grant Fisher's running this time.
Do you think they're like running right next time? Do you think they're running with her?
Maybe similar to sub 2 with Kipchoge. Yeah. They have like, they like sub in and out maybe. I don't really know. I mean, to be honest, like, she's got to get 7 to 8 seconds off a mile time.
Do you want to know what 359.9 is on the men's table?
What?
Have a guess.
Like points?
No, like just time.
Just time?
Equivalent, according to some calculator we put it in.
359.9 for the men's to the women's?
Yeah. Like three what? I'll give you a hint. It's in the 30s.
331?
It's 333, apparently.
Jesus.
Like, I don't even know what that is per lap.
Jesus.
What are we, like, That is, that's I don't know if that's a good good comparison. Like, I don't know what it would take. I don't know how many paces you'd need, what kind of spikes, what kind of speed suit to try and get Yared, Cole, Yuck, who the hell it
just
is.
Just get anybody you can.
To run 3:33 in the mile.
Are they carrying her for the first mile?
Maybe 3:59 doesn't sound as hard.
Just carry her for the whole mile. Just get her on the back. Well, the thing is, like, I would have loved to have seen Faith do a sub 8 attempt on the 3K. I think that's way more possible than the 4:04 flat 3:59. I think
it doesn't resonate the same though.
That's why they're doing it, right? They're
sub 4. Everyone knows what that is. And if she I'd love for her to do it.
If she pulls it off,
I'm hanging in there. Yeah. I'm going to be maybe watching actually. It's on YouTube. I'll be following it. She does it.
It's supposed to be on Prime the next day, I think.
Oh, and it's on Prime. Yeah, YouTube. But it sits on everything.
But with Faith, like if she does that, I can't think of how you could compare that to any other athletic. That's probably the craziest thing athletically we will ever see in our lifetime if she does it. It's insane. It's crazier than all the world records we've ever seen. It'll be crazy than all the. It'll be the craziest feat a track and field athlete has ever done. In my opinion, if she breaks 4, it'll be insane. It'll be one of the craziest. Even if she has like 17 plates in her carbon plate shoe, I don't even fucking know. It'd just be insane.
It is very cool that track and field is a sport where this can even be something like to go for. Like yeah. There aren't very many sports where it's like so black and white and like such a simple target, time, distance, one person. Is this possible? Like, there are very few sports where that can really like resonate with the whole sport and catch on as much as it has.
And people will be able to know what that means as well, which is probably why compared to a sub 8, 3K, sub 4 mile is, it's a crazy, crazy thing. Well, that's going to be exciting to see.
Final prediction?
I mean, I reckon to the world, she has the world record, which is 4:07. I think.
Yeah, point something.
So if she runs under, if she runs sub 4, incredible. I will be, my jaw will be on the ground. If she runs under 4:05, again, fucking insane. Insane if she runs under 4:05. If she breaks the world record, that's pretty awesome. Other than that, I think that's where my prediction's probably around the 4:05 range. If she runs under that, like, she's one of the greatest athletes for me to, like, just insane shit. If she breaks 4, I think I'll fucking lose my shit. It'll be insane. Like, she should be fucking the face of middle distance running for forever. Like, that's going to be an insane achievement. But my predictions are around 4:05. So what about you, George?
I think a little faster. If they use these men as much as it seems like they're going to, and I assume they have some kind of plan. There must be like a vehicle tunnel? Must have a vehicle or something.
Like a wind tunnel or something like that.
Just a fan behind. then I'm going to say 4:00, at least 4:04.
4:04?
Okay. I'm going to say 4:00. I'm going to say 4:02.
4:02? Okay.
4:02.9.
Who
just sounds good.
I'm gonna be interested to see what Morgan's prediction would be for next week. I want to hear what he says and then see who's the closest.
Yeah. Alrighty. And following that on Thursday, 2 days later, we're gonna get Ollie's take on something I'm really looking forward to.
I have no idea what this is. Why do you guys keep pushing this on me?
Okay. All right. I'm not even pushing on you. I actually am genuinely looking forward to following the Western States 100 Trail Race 2025.
So can you explain that to somebody that obviously knows?
I bet these people definitely know more about it than you. People listening. I'm sure you guys do. I have faith in you that you know more than Ollie.
Yeah, you probably do.
I feel like people follow running. They don't just follow the track.
Where is the trail race?
All right. Olympic Valley, Palisades, Lake Tahoe.
Okay.
One of those options. Starts at a ski field. They run to Auburn. Oldest 100-mile race in the world. Oldest and maybe the biggest. Maybe you could argue UTMB is up there. I actually don't know.
UTMB is the big one.
The Mont Blanc one. That's probably the biggest one in Europe. This is one of the biggest one in America.
A lot of the on-trail runners do the UTMB one.
Yeah. And someone who actually knows more about trail running could probably tell us which one is bigger. feels like Western States is, but maybe that's just...
How long has Western States been around for?
I don't know, fucking ages.
Yeah.
Older than any others. But honestly, this, it just seems like Trail is growing so much at the moment, and I can't believe the content that is out there at the moment. And that's one of the reasons I want to bring it up, is the amount of like social media, YouTube content being put out for Western States is blowing my mind. I don't know if it's just because I'm like, I've just like watched a little bit of it. So the algorithm is just like,
it's just like hammering you with it
or speeding me with Western States content.
Yeah.
But also our very own Coffee Club Track Club, David Roche, is running the Western States for the 100 for the first time, I believe, after winning Leadville last year, and has been super like transparent in his training. Bunch of YouTube video series. I would recommend it if you want to see some crazy, random, crazy shit. Some ridiculous heat training, which is a very, it's like a net downhill 100, which is like, and it's quite fast. They run it in like 14 hours is Jim Walmsley's record. Whereas UTMB is like a mountain.
Yeah.
It's a race. It's there's way more vert. It's way more like technical. They must run like 10 hours slower. I don't actually know. I just made that up. The running is actually way slower. So this one is just fucking hot and they run fast.
Yeah.
I don't even know what pace. I don't know. But Dave Roche running, he's got a sweet YouTube series on it. What is the other one? Killian Jornet is running. So if he's like, maybe he's like the GOAT of trail running. Maybe Jim Walmsley is like the GOAT at Western States. But Killian Jornet is like the European... I don't know. He won Western States in 2011. Hasn't been back.
Oh, wow.
He's got a YouTube series on it. He's also doing
You've really done your research.
Dude, I'm telling you. I haven't necessarily watched all these.
Give me shit because I don't know shit about this, which I do. I do not know anything. Geordie has all the fucking resources here to tell us about how great this event is because it sounds sick. Can you watch it?
Can you watch it
online?
Yeah. There's a full live stream.
Perfect.
Jenna went last year. She says the atmosphere is ridiculous. It's amazing. Kevin's there right now.
Is he filming?
Yeah.
Shooting?
And... he says it's sick already. The other content I would recommend, the Boulder Boys. Have you heard of these guys?
No, but I love their name.
Yeah, I don't know how they came up with that first. They are from Boulder. Shocker. And I stumbled upon their YouTube in the last couple of days. And it was really sick, actually. He's running the 100. One of them, his name's Seth. I don't really know who it is. Seth Ruling. But he had this sick video. They were in Flagstaff. I clicked on the Boulder Boys video for the first time in Flagstaff.
In Flagstaff.
What's going on?
God fucking damn it.
And they do sick. He does the A1 loop. It's like this 21 mile long run loop that a lot of people do.
Yeah.
I never did the loop. I just go like just a little bit out and back. Yeah. But it's sweet. It's iconic. And then the next day he does rim to rim to rim. Like south rim, north rim, south rim of the Grand Canyon, which is sick. And so I'm rooting for him. He did slip that it seemed like he'd done no heat training, which concerned me a little bit.
Okay. So we're concerned about that.
I'm concerned about his heat training, his heat abilities, based on David's taking heat training to like, you know, another level. Killian's been doing some crazy heat training. So Boulder Boys, that's pretty sick, actually.
That's a great name.
There's some on stuff going on, which is also cool. The like main release of our new trail shoe, which I also think is
Ultra.
So sick.
Right?
The Cloud Ultra Pro.
Yeah.
If anyone's in the trail world, the shoe looks incredible.
Joe wore it for a run. He said it was pretty
nice. Clicker wore it for an easy run. It was a beautiful shoe, actually. I like it a lot. And
the upper is nice.
So the big releases this week. I think the trail guy's been running it for like a couple of years, but it just came out in the last couple of days. So that's happening in Western States. One of the on guys has a YouTube channel as well.
Yeah.
Adrian McDonald guy.
Yeah.
So like it is like the peak of trail running in the US, but I've never seen like this much content for a race, I swear.
Well, it's pretty cool to see because then if you think about it, like it's growing, right? It's getting bigger. So
yeah. And I think that's got to be good for all athletes in it. Hopefully they're all making more money than they used to in trail running. Jim Walmsley, unfortunately, is not running. He pulled out kind of recently in the last couple of months. That would have been sick because he's, I don't know how many times he's won it, a ton. But I will be tuning in on Saturday. Nice. I mean, I'm not going to sit there and watch for 14 hours.
You're just going to have it on in the background.
But I'm going to be checking in.
Checking in.
And maybe seeing if there's some cool bits.
Yeah.
And I don't know how else you're supposed to watch a 100-mile race.
I don't know either, honestly.
Yeah, probably not going to watch every minute of it, but it's sick, and that's something cool going on. And what else we got?
I think that's it. I think we've covered everything.
What an episode. I hope everyone had a great time.
Yeah.
And I hope you didn't miss Morg too much. Next week, we do believe...
Next week, we'll be able to work it out.
He's in... Well,
he's back here next week.
I believe he's inbound.
Yeah.
Later in the week.
He's inbound later in the week. Morg will be back, and we'll have the gang back together.
The gang will be back in the studio, hopefully.
Yeah.
Happy family.
Happy family.
And until then... Enjoy your week.
Yeah, have a good week.
Thanks for listening, everybody. This was episode 192 of the Coffee Club. See you later.
Is there prize money for the Western States today?
I don't even know if there is.
Dude, that thing sounds insane.